This is VOA News. I'm Steve Karish. Syria's state news agency, Sana, says that Israeli missiles have targeted a western city, wounding three soldiers. VOA's Tommy McNeil has more.
Sana said Sunday the missiles were fired in Hama province at dawn. Other local media reported that Syria's air defenses shot several of them down. No deaths were immediately reported. Photos from Sana'a show the missiles may have landed on farmland. Israel has staged hundreds of strikes on targets in Syria over the years. However, it rarely acknowledges or discusses such operations. It says it targets bases of Iran-allied militias, notably Lebanon's militant Hezbollah group. Tommy McNeil, VOA News, Washington.
More than 1,000 migrants were brought ashore in southern Italy on Saturday. Lauren Anthony reports.
Coast Guards had launched major rescue operations for three boats struggling in rough seas off Calabria, while another escorted a packed fishing boat carrying 487 migrants into the port of Crotone, close to the scene of a February 26th shipwreck that killed at least 74 people. Local officials said a further 200 migrants had been picked up off the coast of Sicily and would be ferried to Catania later in the day. More than 4,000 people have reached Italy since Wednesday, compared to around 1,300 for the whole of March last year.
Reuters' Lauren Anthony reporting. A record-breaking flood in the Australian state of Queensland is forecast to peak on Sunday after almost 100 residents of an outback town were moved to higher ground. The flood, triggered by heavy rain over the past week, is worst in the remote town of Burketown, about 2,100 kilometers northwest of Brisbane. The head of local government there said water levels in the area were at heights not previously known. This is VOA News. The diplomatic landscape in the Middle East is changing drastically as Iran and Saudi Arabia have announced at least partial reconciliation, though a lot of uncertainty remains. Karen Chamas has that story.
As part of the diplomatic breakthrough, the two regional rivals also agreed to reopen their embassies after 7 years of tensions. Syria's foreign ministry welcomed the agreement in a statement calling it an important step that will lead to strengthening security and stability in the region. Iran has been a major backer of President Bashar al-Assad's government, while Saudi Arabia supports opposition fighters trying to remove him from power. The agreement is also seen as a major diplomatic victory for China, who helped to broker the deal, as Gulf Arab states perceive the U.S. as reducing its presence in the Middle East. I'm Karen Chamas.
On Sunday, suspected militants from the Allied Democratic Forces, or ADF, killed at least 17 people in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, local officials say. This only days after the Islamist-aligned group conducted another massacre in the troubled region. The ADF, which the Islamic State group claims as its Central African affiliate, is one of the deadliest armed militias in eastern Congo, accused of slaughtering thousands of civilians. The latest attack occurred in the early hours of Sunday in North Kivu Province's Beni territory. VOA is unable to independently verify the death toll. 12 years after the 2011 earthquake, tsunami, and Fukushima nuclear disaster, mourners gathered on Saturday to commemorate the loss of more than 2,000 lives. Christy Kilburn reports.
In Fukushima, Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida took part in a minute's silence to remember those who died.
The massive earthquake, the great tsunami, and the accident at Tokyo Electric Power's Fukushima Daiichi Nuclear Power Station robbed many of the prefecture's citizens of their lives. Even now, I can hardly bear the sense of grief when I think of the feelings of those who lost beloved family members, relatives, and friends.
Mourners were seen laying flowers in Hisenahama, a village around 18 miles south of the ruined Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power station.
That's Christy Kilburn reporting. Skirmishes between violent protesters and police in Paris on Saturday as France faced a seventh day of demonstrations against President Emmanuel Macron's unpopular pension reform plans. From Washington, I'm Steve Karish.